Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Cavaliers coming up with a big, big, big win yesterday. All right, it was just a win. It doesn't matter how bad, how many bigs you put in front of it. It was a win, and it felt good, and it was an exciting game to watch last night over the Atlanta Hawks. Let's talk more about it here on Baskin and Phelps. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We bring in our friend Chris Credor. I made up a new name for you, Chris. I don't know. Maybe that would be your alternate bizarro world name if you ever have one of those. Maybe that could be the name you put on the back of your fun jersey during kickball. But he is Chris Credor. He is a super friend of the show. He's also heard here on The Fan as well. And, of course, you can read his Cavs coverage every day on Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Hi, Chris. How are you? Longest intro in the history of radio. Sorry.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'll say this. Every time that I go to an airport or something along those lines, you know, they always want to say Mr. whatever your name is when they see the name on your boarding pass. And they always look at mine and they say, well, thank you, Mr. Thank you, because nobody has any idea how to pronounce my last name.
That's funny. It's only five letters, only two vowels.
I know, yes. And yet I get, you know, four or five different pronunciations depending on the day and the person.
That's outstanding. No more 10-game losing streak. Yay. Good effort, yay. As Andy said earlier, kind of resembled what we saw earlier in the season. What did it take to get back to that, and why did it happen last night?
I mean, I think part of it had to do with the fact that they were playing against Atlanta. That's a team that they beat earlier this season. That's a team that's kind of on their same level. They're rebuilding. Yeah, they're 1 year ahead of their rebuild than the Cavs. But, I mean, they're same kind of level. Those are the kinds of teams that the Cavs have shown that they can be competitive with. I think the other thing is, you know, they played the right way offensively and defensively. I think they're being helped recently by the amount of practices that they've been able to have. You know, at one point during the road trip, that hellish road trip on the West Coast, they didn't practice at all. This is a team that needs practice. This is a team that needs time together. This is a team that needs reps. I think there are a lot of things that have gone into why they lost 10 games in a row and why they weren't playing the same kind of way that they were at the beginning of the season. And I think a lot of those things were completely understandable and circumstantial. And I think also it's just this is a rebuilding team that is going to have nights like last night against Atlanta, and they're going to have nights like over the weekend against the Oklahoma City Thunder, because their margin for error is so, so small. And a game can teeter and go one way really, really bad the way that it did over the weekend, and it can go the other way the way that it did last night against Atlanta. I think it's just the natural growing pains of a young team that's trying to find itself and learn the right way to play. Consistency is going to be elusive for the entire season, I think.
All right, just quickly on last night's game, I want to go back on this, and particularly the end of the game. Were you surprised that Stevens took the ball to the hole? Have you seen, when's the last time you saw a game-winning dunk? And I guess were you surprised that he took it to the hole? I was shocked at the confidence he had in going straight to the basket rather than trying to give the ball back to Sexton.
I wrote about this last night because I called and had a conversation with head coach J.B. Bickerstaff about this, because my big question was, why the heck was he in the game?
Yeah, great point. You know, great point.
Lamar Stevens is the kind of guy who came into this year on a two-way contract. He was end-of-the-bench guy, and here he is in – such a huge game for the Cavs. Colin Sexton called it a must-win game, and he's on the court in the biggest moment. And You know, J.B. Bickerstaff obviously went to Stevens on the previous possession during a timeout because he wanted his defense on the floor. He took out Dylan Windler, and he brought in Lamar Stevens for a defensive stop. And I was like, you know, was there any thought after Trae Young missed his shot to actually call timeout to get a more offensive-minded guy in there instead of Lamar? And the way that J.B. explained it to me, he said no, because Atlanta had taken out Clint Capela, their best defensive player, swapped him for Danilo Gallinari, and J.B. didn't want to call timeout even though he had two. One, because the floor was broken and there was an opportunity for the Cavs to attack a non-set defense. And two, he didn't want to give Atlanta a chance to substitute Clint Capela back in there. And if you watch the play, Danilo Gallinari wanted nothing to do with contesting that dunk attempt, and he sat there flat-footed with his palms raised to the sky. So that was a good decision made by J.B. Bickerstaff. Stunning that it was Lamar Stevens that got the ball, but it shows, hey, look, if you're going to be on the court in that kind of moment, you have to be ready. And the Cavs have been telling Lamar for the last month, month and a half, be ready. You don't know when it's going to happen. Next man up mentality. If Larry Nance Jr. is healthy and Taurean Prince is healthy and Kevin Love is healthy, Lamar Stevens isn't in that game, right? If J.B. Bickerstaff calls timeout after Trae Young's miss, Lamar Stevens isn't in that game. But he was, found himself in the biggest moment, and he was ready. So give him a lot of credit.
Let me pick your brain on this one. You need, this team has two guards and they have a center, and they need wing guys to step up and become more of a impactful, I would think.
Yep.
Did they get lucky with Lamar Stevens? Could he be anything more than that? You saw Dylan Windler, you know, last night do what he was supposed to do, hit a lot of threes. He was 5 of 5 on threes. Have they perhaps gotten lucky with a guy like Stevens, or is he going to be what you just laid out, a guy who, hey, if you need him, he can go in and play a wing spot for you? And then can Windler, you know, become what he was last night on a regular basis, Chris?
I think it's all about perspective, guys, right? So, yeah, I think they have gotten lucky because they've got this guy who is giving them quality NBA minutes, and he's on a two-way contract, and he was undrafted. So, you know, if you would have told me that Lamar Stevens was going to be getting this kind of playing time at the beginning of the season, I would have told you that you were nuts. So, yeah, I think they have gotten lucky here. I actually talked to a source last night, and I brought it up. I said, hey, look, are you guys going to have to convert this guy from a two-way to a regular NBA contract? And the source told me, I think we may have to. So he has worked his way into that kind of conversation. At the same time, what he becomes is ultimately up to him. He can't shoot. He's 2 of 16 from three-point range. He shot 27% or something like that over four years at Penn State. Look, if he can develop a spot-up, reliable, consistent three-point shot, which is a huge if, then I think you're talking about somebody who can be a mainstay of a rotation and somebody who can be more than just a defensive stopper or somebody who comes in a specific situation. So a lot of it's going to go into his develop and what he does when it comes to that three ball, because that's really, really important if he wants to take on the role of whatever a lot of people are calling it, the 3-and-D type guy. In saying that, I mean, this is a credit to the front office for finding somebody who, you know, played 4 years at Penn State, was probably overlooked because of that, went undrafted. They have him on a two-way, and he's actually making an impact for this team when not a lot of people thought that that was going to happen. A lot of people thought that he was headed for the Orlando G League bubble, I'm sure.
All right, I have to ask my daily update. Kevin Love, where are we with him? And then I've got a follow-up to that, too. So where are we with Kevin right now?
They don't want to call it a setback, and I get that because he's still doing basketball-related activities, and technically if it was a setback, then he would have had to stop basketball-related activities. But last week, was it last week? I can't remember. Yeah, last week when the Cavs had back-to-back practices, they wanted to see how Kevin's calf was going to respond. And they wanted to see, okay, after the increased activity, after progressing to the next step, how does he look after that? He felt some soreness in his calf, and I think the calves are at a point right now where it is such a tricky injury. It was a high-grade calf strain, which is usually about 6 weeks, maybe more, to begin with. He's on the wrong side of 30, and they're worried about an Achilles, too. So I think the Cavs are at a point, guys, where they want him to be symptom-free following these more rigorous workouts before they're really, really comfortable bringing him back to game action. And they do not want to rush this because a lot of times when it starts as a calf strain, it quickly becomes an Achilles if it goes the wrong way.
All right, how about Hoops Hype has a story out there. Dallas have an interest. A lot of teams would have an interest. Do they want to make a trade is the question.
I was talking to somebody in the NBA, and they actually brought up a good point when it comes to Andre. A lot of teams around the league are waiting for him to be bought out by the Cavs. Those conversations haven't happened to this point with Andre and his agent. It could potentially get that way if the Cavs don't find a workable trade. They're still of the belief that they're going to find a workable trade because there are enough teams that are, one, interested in Andre, two, more motivated rather than waiting for a buyout, and three, have the kind of contracts that are required to match his salary. And this is what the person around the NBA brought up to me yesterday. If he's bought out, he's going to Brooklyn. Like, either that or the Los Angeles Lakers are going to try and woo him. Something like that. Like, if you're Dallas and you have that interest in Andre, you're not getting him in a buyout, right? If you're Toronto and you have that interest in Andre, you're not beating out the Nets and the Lakers in a buyout situation. So some of those other teams may be more motivated to try and actually pull off a trade so that he doesn't go to Brooklyn or Los Angeles, one of the teams that they're trying to compete with, one, for Andre, and two, for an NBA championship. The other thing is this, like, if these other teams are waiting for him to be bought out, that means having to wait another month, maybe month and a half. Who knows where you're going to be in the standings at that point in time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The person that I talked to around the league believes that there are going to be some teams that are more motivated, and maybe the offers just don't come, you know, immediately at this point in time because we're a month away from the trade deadline.
Let me throw this at you real quick just to kind of follow up on that Kevin Love question from 2 ago.
Sure.
Let's say Love comes back, okay? And,
yeah.
And Jeff and I were talking about this the other day, and I brought this up. And, you know, I was looking at the numbers after the Oklahoma City game, and the bench gave them absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
You know, you got nothing from the bench. And then I was trying to figure out, what if you went, you know, obviously Allen's your center, but what, you know, Nance comes back, Love comes back, and you start with Garland and Okoro. And you bring Colin off the bench. I know that to me it sounds crazy to say that, to put your leading scorer on the bench, but I do think that that would give JB another option when those guys come back. And then the other thing is, it's more important to me to have a guy on the floor at the end of the game than it is to hear his name being announced in the beginning.
Sure.
Am I crazy thinking that?
Well, the last part I don't think you're crazy. The first part I do think you're crazy.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I just don't think you can take a guy who is a borderline all-star this year, who is so important to the team's success, and everything points to Colin Sexton and the Cavs being better when he's on the court, both offensively and defensively. I don't think you can take that guy and put him on the bench. I just don't think you can, especially because the Cavs need the things that he brings, especially early on in the games. Like, there are a lot of times this year that Colin has been the one that has kept them afloat, or Colin has been the one that has kept them attached long enough. Look at what he did last night against Atlanta. He had 15 points in the first quarter. The Cavs have been so bad when it comes to getting off to good starts. They've been digging themselves a hole. Without Colin last night giving those 15 points, who knows which direction that game could have gone in. In saying that, I think Kevin is way more important than people realize. The way that I have put it recently is that Kevin Love simultaneously raises the Cavs' floor and ceiling, and they need the things that he brings desperately. You saw last night what this team did when they started hoisting more threes, when they started making more threes. Well, last year, Kevin took 7 threes per game. He was the guy that attempted the most. He's going to provide floor spacing. He's going to provide defensive rebounding. Both those things have been problematic. And maybe he's going to take this offense that is dead last in the NBA and make it a little bit more respectable because he's got that kind of game, and take pressure off of Colin Sexton and Dylan Windler and some of these other guys who are still really, really young in their development in the NBA and who are still going to be guys that have to deal with more and more attention and learn how to deal with more and more attention from the opposing defense. Kevin can be that release valve for them.
All righty, Chris Fedor, Midor, Redor, or whatever you want to be called at the airport. We always love having you on. You are the Iron Man of Twitter, and that's why I always appreciate you. And, of course, we read you at cleveland.com and love listening to you when you're on the radio here as well. Thanks, Chris.
You got it, guys. See you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. And, of course, Chris was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.